John chapter 20, verses 10 through to 20.
Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Please leave your Bibles open there, John chapter 20. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word now and reflect on the wonderful news that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, we pray that you will quieten our hearts and minds. Help us to sit in your presence, to think about the implications of what you have done through your Son, and to be encouraged by this wonderful news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, bushfires are a fairly normal part of living in Australia. Almost every year, almost every summer, at least some part of our state is affected by bushfires. People often lose their homes, their possessions, and sometimes, sadly, people even lose their lives. As bushfires ravage all sorts of bushland, leaving a trail of destruction in their wake. But beneath the charred earth lies a secret. Just when it looks like everything living in that area has been destroyed by fire, new life rises from the ashes. Among the dry leaves that provide fuel for the fire lay little tiny seeds from native plants like the banksia, the eucalyptus, and the acacia. These seeds don't germinate with just rain and sun alone, but lie dormant, often for many, many years, waiting for a moment that would seem almost impossible. For all that time, they lay dormant, doing nothing, hidden under the soil, waiting quietly in the dark. But as the bushfire makes its way through the bushland, the heat of the fire opens up the tough shells. The fire clears away the competing plants and enriches the nutrients in the soil. And slowly but surely, tiny green shoots begin to push their way up through the ground, up through that blackened soil. What looked like destruction is actually the beginning of new life. The fire that seemed to consume everything releases the life that was waiting for just the right moment. In a similar way, Good Friday looked like the end. Jesus was dead. The tomb was completely sealed, and the hope of those who were trusting in Jesus was gone. But Easter Sunday reveals the truth. Death could not hold him. At the resurrection, just like the heat of a bushfire, God unlocks life that had been waiting for just the right moment, transforming what seemed final into something new. The bush that seems lifeless after a fire soon bursts forward with colour and life. Seeds shoot, flowers bloom, trees grow, and the birds slowly return. In a similar way, the good news of the empty tomb opens up a future full of promise. Life breaking through death, hope breaking through despair, and a new beginning breaking through what once seemed final. On the cross, Jesus declared, "It is finished," because all of the sins of humanity, past, present, and future, had been paid for on the cross. But as Jesus died and the tomb was sealed, as his followers grieved, it would have felt more like scorched bushland than a new beginning. But just as the cross marks the end of the guilt of our sin, the resurrection marks an incredible new beginning, a new standing before God, a new kind of life in the here and now, and a certain new hope for the future. And this wonderful new beginning is available to anyone and everyone who puts their faith in Jesus. So firstly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us a new standing before God. We've probably all been in this position at one point or another, standing in a line where there's two captains who are selecting people to be on their team. If you're the sporty kind, you probably had nothing to worry about because probably both of those captains wanted you on their team. Well, the rest of us were there standing in line, hoping not to be the last person to be picked. But when it comes to our standing, the standing of those who trust in Jesus, we aren't standing in line hoping to be picked next. We have already been picked and called to be his own. As Ephesians chapter 1 says, he chose us and he adopted us to sonship. Now, sonship means that those who trust in Jesus become sons and daughters of the living God and are in a direct line to receive every one of God's good promises. But that is only possible because Jesus has risen from the grave. Romans chapter 4:25 says, he was delivered over to death for our sins, but was raised to life for our justification. If you were the last person to be picked on one of those sporting teams, it's probably because you aren't the best at that particular sport, or maybe any sport for that matter. But if that was the case, then you weren't as qualified as the people who were very good at that sport. But those who trust in Jesus weren't chosen or adopted because they were qualified in any way or deserved it any more than anyone else. If we have faith in Jesus, we were called, chosen, and adopted because Jesus provided the qualifications that we needed when he rose from the grave. He died for the guilt of the sins of all those who trust in him, and he was raised for our justification. Justification's a big word that can confuse people. It's a legal term that means to be declared innocent. And so it is just as if we have never sinned. That's what it means to be justified. And we are justified not on the basis of who we are or what we have done. We are justified on the basis of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. See, the resurrection guarantees that we have been called, chosen, and adopted as a part of God's family. He was raised. As a result, we are justified and reconciled to him. As Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" The good news of Easter is that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he was raised from the grave. And because of this good news, those who trust in Jesus have a new standing with God. They no longer stand as enemies, but as sons and daughters and heirs, ready to inherit every one of God's good promises. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us a new kind of life. Now, I don't know about anyone else, but when I was very young and only just started working full time, putting money away for retirement was the last thing on my mind, because there were so many things to think about. Things like, where was I going to live? What was I going to drive? What kind of lifestyle was I going to live? And with all of those questions affecting my day-to-day life, worrying about retirement was the last thing on my mind. And yet, sadly, when Christians talk about the good news of the risen Lord Jesus, we often tend to talk about how it changes our eternity without even thinking about or mentioning how it changes our lives in the here and now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." But if you have been a follower of Jesus for more than 30 seconds, you'll know that even though we are no longer the same, our old sinful nature wages war within us. Every minute, every hour, we have to decide to do what God has called us to do and to be who God has called us to be. We face temptations, frustrating situations, and a battle that is constantly waging war on our hearts. And as comforting as the hope of the good news of eternity with Christ is, sometimes that can seem too far away to help us in the here and now. Good news of the risen Lord Jesus isn't just for when we die. It affects every moment of every single day for those who trust in Jesus. Because Jesus has risen from the grave, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Every day, no matter what we are going through, no matter how we feel, whether good or bad, the good news of the risen Lord Jesus means that we have a great high priest who is always speaking to God the Father on our behalf. He is there right now making prayers and petitions and requests on behalf of those who trust in him to help them to grow in their walk with him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 reminds us that Jesus knows what we are going through in this life. He knows about our suffering and struggles. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." Because Jesus is risen, it goes on to say in Hebrews 4:16 that we are able to approach the throne of grace with confidence and find help in our time of need. And then we're reminded in Hebrews 13 that he will never leave us or forsake us. We can have confidence of all of this. We can have confidence of this because Ephesians 1 verse 14 says that the Holy Spirit that is given to everyone who trusts in Jesus is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God has already paid the deposit. The down payment's been made. Our salvation's been won. The good news of Easter is that Jesus has not only died for our sins, but has also risen from the grave. And because of that good news, those who trust in Jesus experience a new kind of life in the here and now, one that's being guided and directed by the risen Lord Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And then finally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers us a new future. Now, Jesus wasn't the only one to rise from the grave. Jesus had already raised Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, along with, of course, Lazarus. And then, of course, there's that really strange verse in Matthew 27:52 that talks about tombs breaking open and believers walking in the streets at the point of Jesus' death on the cross. And as amazing as those events were, these people who were raised from the dead all died again. But the good news of the risen Lord Jesus is, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, we'll still have to face physical death at some point in our lives. That is, unless Jesus returns before then. But because Jesus has risen from the grave, death and eternal judgment are no longer the future for those who trust in him. Peter, 1 Peter, I opened the service with these verses. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. It is because Jesus has risen from the grave that he is able to provide the certain hope of life forever with him to those who trust in him. Jesus himself encourages believers in John 14, verses 1 and 2. You would have heard these words at a funeral at some point. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. This is the future that awaits those whose confidence for life after death is in Christ Jesus. It is a future without the effects of sin, without pain, and without the struggles and hardships that we experience in this life. Revelation 21:4 reminds us that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. The good news of Easter is that Jesus has not only died for our sins, but was also raised from the grave. Because of this good news, those who trust in Jesus have a certain future hope, one that is free from the brokenness and pain that we experience in this life, and one where we will spend eternity in the presence of our great God and Saviour. After a bushfire, a landscape can seem completely devastated. The ground blackened and lifeless. It looks like the end. But beneath the surface, something is happening. Seeds are opening. Life is stirring. And in time, what looks like devastation becomes the beginning of something new. That's exactly what happened that first Easter. The first Good Friday, it looked like everything had come to an end. Jesus had died. The tomb was sealed. His disciples were in grief. But what no one could yet see was that at that very moment, God was working, preparing something far greater than anyone could have even imagined. And when Jesus rose from the grave, it wasn't just a miracle to be amazed at. It was the beginning of something new for all those who trust in him. A new standing before God, a new kind of life in the here and now, and a certain hope for life after the grave. What this means is that no matter what our lives look like now, if you have faith in the risen Lord Jesus, and in the salvation that he accomplished on the cross. Jesus' saving work on the cross is finished, and these blessings are guaranteed for you. But God is also still at work in us, and still at work in this world. Even when it feels like our lives feel more like scorched earth than new life, if you trust in Jesus, your standing before God is already secure. And the risen Lord is with you, interceding on your behalf, strengthening you, and at work in you each day. If you trust in Jesus, your future is not uncertain. It is held safely in his hands. Because just like those seeds lying in the earth, the life that God offers is not something that you have to create. It is something that he brings to life. When he does, everything changes. Where there was guilt, there is forgiveness. Where there was distance and separation, there is adoption. Where there is struggle, there is someone to help. Where there is death and hopelessness, there is life. And all this because of the good news that Jesus has risen from the grave. What once looked like the end is only a beginning for those who trust in Jesus. Let's give him thanks. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful life-giving, hope-giving, comfort-giving, and peace-giving news that Jesus has risen from the grave. Lord, we pray that everyone here would find their confidence in this good news, confidence for this life and for the age to come. We thank you, Lord, that while we were still enemies, Lord, while we were still running from you, fighting against your plan, you loved us so much that you sent your son to willingly die in our place, and that you raised him again to life everlasting as the first to rise from the grave. And we pray that you would help us to live in the light of this good news, that we might bring you the glory and honor and praise you deserve. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is risen. Amen.